Hello, what have we here?
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 54. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about costuming and cosplay. As always, I'm Mikey B, and I'm joined by my co-host, Danya.
Hey everyone.
We also have Ben with us this week.
Hey, it's been a while.
I know. And we also have Brent again with us. It's been like a year.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Brent. And joining us for the first time is Chelsea. How are
Hello,
you doing, Chelsea?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay.
If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at our radio podcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook. Send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Also, today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free today. So does anyone actually have MP3 players anymore?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I do.
I have an iPod.
Okay. And everyone's like using their phone or Android or...
Well, I use it for cosplay, so...
Yeah, okay, it's got music for, like, your Stormtrooper Imperial... Okay.
Well, I've got Jawa noises on it, so,
okay, a little Utini action.
Yeah.
Imperial right. March on a loop for 10 hours straight, yes!
There you go.
So good. Also, we have just launched our Patreon. Check it out at resistanceradio.net/Patreon. We have some really cool perks, including Discord chat, which we're using right now. You can jump into our recording studio. We're going to be having movie nights coming up in the next couple of weeks, as well as our After Dark episodes. Danya, what do you think about this Patreon thing we launched?
As I say every week, I think it's fun because... Yeah, the chat is my favorite part because we just get to be ridiculous in it, even though we've been a little bit quieter, like, the last week, mostly because I think I was mostly dead, and then work has been a nightmare this week, so I just haven't been around as much.
We have Zombie Danya on today.
Yeah, dead. Zombie Danya. Yeah. I did. I died last week, but I'm feeling much better now.
That's cool. I'm glad you're feeling better. Yeah. If you can't support us on Patreon, that is cool. We appreciate you listening anyway. We also have t-shirts and buttons for sale on our website, so check those out at resistanceradio.net. So, as tradition, per tradition, Chelsea, this is your first time on the show. And we're excited
Thank
to have you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I know. Who wouldn't be right? Excited, right? So, tell us a little... Right? Exactly. It's a podcast.
Yeah,
so, tell
totally.
Us a little bit about you and your experience with Star Wars, how you got into it, what makes you love it.
Okay.
You know, you can't see these really bad expressions I'm making right now, but tell us about
Well,
it.
I've always loved the movies ever since I was a youngling, and the characters have always been extremely inspiring to me. Though I've always been very partial to the dark side, of course. I mean, who really isn't anymore? I love the character development. I love all the backstories that they have. And I especially love the costumes and the detail that they put into them. And I've just, well, I joined the 501st last year. It's not so recent, but back in August of 2016. So that was awesome. Yeah.
That's very cool. We'll talk more about the 501st and all the costume stuff when we get to our spotlight
awesome.
Topic. But it's time for the news. So, first bit of news. Officially, Rogue One is now out on DVD and Blu-ray. It came out 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, on digital, which is when I got it. What do you guys think about this? Have you all purchased your copies of Rogue One? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
No, because I was waiting to get paid.
that's possible. Yeah, it makes sense, too. I just want to talk real quick about a little bit of the kind of the special features. Did anyone get a chance to watch them? I know you got yours, Brent. And
I got
Chelsea.
To watch a little bit of it.
No, I haven't done the special features yet.
So, I'll tell you this. I'm waiting for the next version of the... Blu-ray to come out, kind of like what they did with Force Awakens, because I will say the special features are a little kind of underwhelming.
Wait, what? No.
Well, like, because right, I'm so excited. I'm so excited about the Baisen Chirrut Guardians of the Wills little short thing that they've got. Like, I really
like,
want to.
Honestly, it's like 3 minutes. Like Baisen Chirrut, no! It might be like five. It might be 5 minutes. Like, I just said it was three, but it might be like five minutes.
That's the sound of my heart breaking.
I will say they're all good. Like all the little spots are really good, and I don't know. I just like. I really wish there was like a director commentary or just more. I know they,
get the director commentary for Force Awakens until that one 3D release, right?
Till the 3D release, which is, I'm totally expecting them to release another version of this. But I'm just a little sad about it. Like, there wasn't that much on it. Overall, I will say it is still one of my favorite films, but I do think the best one would be A Rogue Idea, which is how John Knoll came up with a Rogue One story. Which is pretty cool, considering that if you guys know who John Knoll is, he has always been doing like visual effects and always been part of like filmmaking. I think I made the comment at we have him to thank for the light effects in like the Star Trek films. You know the light, you know the lens flares, like
lens
that
flare?
Is John Knoll. Yeah, Knoll Light Factory. That's what it's called. So
and we
have him to thank
J.J.
for that.
Abrams with it.
I know, right? we have him to thank for that. But his thing in A Rogue Idea was pretty good. But overall, I was a little underwhelmed with the extras. A little sad. Okay. Well, the next bit is actually something I'm really excited for. If you guys got to take a look at this, because it's the 40th anniversary of Star Wars, you know, 1977, 2017, there is a really cool suitcase record player coming out that is going to be at indie record stores for Record Store Day. So we have a Star Wars 40th anniversary record player. Do you guys get to take a look, a chance to look at this photo?
Yes. I'm pumped.
Yeah.
I don't think
I've actually shared this information with you, but I own all 7 John Williams scores on vinyl, so this is a huge deal for me.
this is like the perfect thing to play it on, right?
This is the perfect thing to play it on. Yeah.
It's so pretty. I love it. I love that piece of art as well. The one that they've got on the top of it. Like, I'm obsessed with it.
The classic poster.
I've got a poster of that. Maybe not like a full-size poster. It's like, you know, decently sized small print version of it. And I just love that piece of art so much. This is definitely not going to be out anywhere in the UK
And it's a limited number, too. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, there were a few of us on a Star Wars group. There's like a UK Star Wars group for people who went to Celebration Europe last year. And we were all talking about this and we're all like, we'll never get our hands on it except through eBay when people decide to like...
sell it for a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah, and kill our bank balance.
I will say it is kind of cool because it is obviously it's a record player and it's modern. It does have Bluetooth capabilities built in, so you can, even if you don't have, you know, the vinyl records of the Star Wars soundtrack like Ben, you could, you know, pair it with your phone and play music through it. Like, I can see this being pretty cool if you're, you know, you're walking around in a Stormtrooper or Vader costume and it's just playing music out of a Star Wars suitcase. It's kind of, you know, Pulp Fiction-ish, you know.
Yeah, not even close
style.
To over the top. It's just, it's perfect. It's awesome.
More news. Alan Tudyk has said he would love to play K2SO on Star Wars Rebels, which who wouldn't want K2SO to come back in some form?
Yes.
I think I would. But the best part about this interview was that he actually does a really good job of impersonating Diego Luna, and he does a spot-on Cassian Andor impression. And so he would love to be able to do both parts, especially if they can't get Diego Luna to come in and voice for his character if he shows up in Rebels. He really just wants to have a conversation with himself on Rebels.
That would be awesome.
What do you guys think of that?
That'd be fun.
That would be really fun. Yeah.
It would be really cool.
I'd love to see when the Rebels like capture him and reprogram him. That'd be cool.
Yeah, like it would be really cool if the backstory of K2SO is tied into the Rebel series. So I think that'd be fun.
See, for me, that makes significantly more sense than the idea of having him in the Han Solo solo movie. So
the Red Solo Cup movie?
The Red Solo Cup movie. Yes, it makes more sense to have him on Rebels. Like, because that also ties in with the crew of the Ghost being there at the end of Rogue One as well. So it's a more natural tie-in between the two than it would be to just try and shoehorn it into the Han Solo movie, because I feel like that's just gratuitous and for the sake of it, and just like overtly, yeah, like exactly, wink wink nudge nudge, look at us go. This is a far more natural and organic way of being able to connect everything together for me. So I would love to see K2SO in Rebels, because it just makes so much more sense. Plus, it would also be great to see K2 interacting with like Chopper and AP5 as well. Like, I think another droid. Yeah, like another droid-centric sort of episode. I think that would be really fun.
Yeah, that would be good. We just really haven't had a lot of news this week, just because we're waiting for Celebration. But yeah, the next bit of news that I have pulled up is actually it's really interesting, because I know this stuff happens all the time, and I happen to have two people from the 501st on the show today, but there is news from ABC News that a child, 6-year-old, who is a Star Wars, unquote, Star Wars fanatic, who is undergoing treatment for a brain tumor, was surprised by members of the 501st in Texas, and just completely made his day, where he got to quiz the troopers. It was a stormtrooper, a Imperial gunner, and a shore trooper. At the children's hospital, he got to quiz them on their Wars knowledge. Brent, Chelsea, what do you guys think about this? Like, I know when you guys go trooping, like, this is something the 501st does. Like, this is what they do. But I just thought it was really opportune that this news kind of hit, you know.
I'm telling you, some of these kids really know their stuff. So when they come up and ask you questions, it's just like, you better get it right, or no. It's just, you're done. Exactly.
Yeah, you have to be on your toes when you're out there.
It's one of those moments that gives you like huge anxiety, though. Like when you're like, "Oh my god, I was naive. I didn't study. I didn't prepare for a pop quiz. I've been out of school."
Especially when you're in the middle of a baseball stadium, being asked these questions on a microphone, like in front of like hundreds and hundreds of people. It's great, dressed as Kylo Ren. So.
Well, that's, yeah, you did a face character, so yeah, you have a little more specific right. questions to be asked, so yeah.
Well, let's just say, though, that if you did fail as Kylo Ren,
well, then you just throw a tantrum, it's perfectly Ren. In character, it's, and you just stomp throw away, a tantrum. Exactly. You're done. And everybody forgets about it, because you just
exactly.
throw a tantrum.
So it's not like, it works. It's a
distraction.
Not the yeah.
Yeah, well, at the end of this, it was 6-year-old, what was his name? Brody Push. He was very excited in the end, and he should be cancer-free at the end of this week. So it's awesome that he got to see the 501st members, and that's pretty cool. Like, I love that 501st members do that.
Awesome.
All right.
It's very heartwarming seeing some of the kids, you know, come up and give you hugs and stuff like that. It's...
Do we know of any other, like, villains that kids would want to see? You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know how many kids would want to see Voldemort. Like, you know,
yeah, like, how many kids would want to... Yeah, like, I don't know. Would you want to hug, like, someone or something? I don't know. It's just,
seems
like,
kind of
there's something lovable about stormtroopers, you know?
Gary.
I mean, probably Loki, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe. He comes close. I think...
Like, kids love Vader, you know, so...
Yeah, Darth Vader's, like, a lovable villain, you know?
I mean, I don't know about that.
I mean, okay, you have children's books being advertised to kids where it's, like, Darth Vader, it's, like, a mother, or a father-daughter book, and it's, like, him and
yes!
Vader having a good time or whatever.
Yes, it's an amazing book.
Kids,
those are all on my book list.
Kids are now, like, conditioned to believe that these villains are actually great, nice people.
Oh, man. So...
Have you guys seen that? Like, it's like,
yes.
You know,
I have
you know,
not.
Goodnight
I have
Vader
not.
And stuff like that. And it's like, he's a father.
That
oh
is
gosh.
Amazing. That's something
They're
I
great.
Need to look at.
Yeah. It's great.
You do. And then you need to carry them around with
I
you.
I literally
as
have
Kylo
pictures.
Ren.
I have pictures of Vader pushing me on the swings.
Yeah.
It is beautiful. Oh, reading me a book. So yeah, I can do that. That would work.
It works. Okay. Now, there's also, oh my gosh, there's a new one. Vader's Little Princess 30 postcards. That's amazing. Oh, this is wonderful. Basically, there's one where Princess Leia is in a...
oh, my God. Dress.
It's like, you're not going out dressed like that.
That's amazing.
Ba-dum-bum.
That's perfect.
So good. So good. I love it. All right. And here's a picture for you guys to see, too. While we're moving on, there is an amazing LEGO exclusive at Star Wars Celebration. Want to get access to this detention block, Death Star, Star Wars A New Hope... 40th anniversary LEGO set, you will be able to purchase it at the LEGO booth at Celebration, but there is a drawing to be able to get into it. So go to StarWarsCelebration.com/events/LEGO Lottery between now and Thursday for the opportunity to get a ticket to enter the booth and buy the collectible LEGO set. I will tell you, I know for a fact, if you are just a collector, this set just looks amazing. And if you're someone who's trying to make money, this set is going to make a lot of money in the future. I'll be honest with you, it's going to be like LEGO Step 1 is always valuable, like in the future. But this set looks awesome. It's a 220 piece set. You got Luke and Han in Stormtrooper outfits. It's awesome. It's a detention block.
I'm wondering if it's going to be as valuable as some other things, because I think the minifigures are available in a bunch of other sets. You know,
yeah, I think those minifigs are, but I don't think the actual detention block part is the exclusive part for it.
Unless you want to buy all the pieces separately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only thing I'll say that makes me a little bit sad is that Leia isn't in this set as well.
They'll add more detention blocks.
She's on the expense. So. She's down the hall. Like if you see it, like further down, they have to build it, and she's gonna be there, and she's gonna tell Luke that he's a little short for a stormtrooper.
Right. Yeah.
I'm also saying, where's Chewie? Because Chewie's supposed to be in there too.
Yeah, this depiction of like one of the best scenes in A New Hope, where he's like, "We're all fine. How are you?"
Boring conversation.
That part. I'm wondering if that was even scripted. I feel like, yeah. I feel like that wasn't even scripted when they did it. It's too good to be George Lucas's writing. You know?
So sad.
I mean, he's not wrong. Let's live.
Yeah, so. Well.
I killed them all. All of them. I hate sand. Anyway.
You're breaking
moving
my
on. Hey, I like the prequels to an extent.
Oh, I like the prequels too, but that doesn't mean they're well written.
All right. I'm going to butcher this name, but we have an amazing Star Wars inspired fashion show that just happened. Donnie, you want to tell us more about this?
Yes. So, Asayas Villatoro is an LA fashion designer, and he's been on like Project Runway, and he did some amazing one-of-a-kind looks for the Her Universe fashion show at San Diego Comic-Con. I think in 2014 and 2015 he did it, but he loves creating like really, really, really cool, edgy designs, and he recently teamed up with his friend Josie Gonzalez, who's a San Diego fashion photographer, who noticed that a few of his designs looked vaguely Star Wars-y. So what they did is they went out and did this huge, incredible photo shoot based on the idea of Disney bounding, and it's like this high fashion Star Wars photo shoot, and it's so cool. I'm absolutely in love. I want, out of this whole set, I really want that Leia dress, the one that they've got there, because that one is incredible. But I also really like there's a Rebel pilot one as well that's super cute towards the end. But these look so cool, and especially considering that these weren't designed specifically to be like Star Wars inspired looks, they've just styled it to look
a Chewbacca one.
Yeah, oh there's gosh. So many that are like really, really good.
That's funny.
Yeah, I will say they're pretty good. I do like the Leia one, the very first one. I don't know if it's because it's Carrie or Leia, or just it's like the most elegant looking one, I think. I don't know. But I'm a
fan of it.
I love
how there's a C-3PO one, too.
All the gold?
Yeah, it's just gold.
Yeah, it's so great. I love it. I love stuff like this. The last time I went to Disney, I Disney bounded as well, because I just like doing that, where you put together an outfit and you style it up to remind people of a character without, like, specifically dressing up as that character. I have a lot of fun trying to come up with looks like that, especially because you can't, obviously you can't dress up at the Disney parks unless it's Halloween, so.
You can if you're a little kid or pretend to be.
Yeah, well, I am very far away from being a little kid anymore, Mikey. So, if you are not a child and you go to Disney, you can't dress up when you're at Disney.
That's true.
So, that is pretty much going to be the case for everyone listening to this podcast, probably.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true. All right, last bit of news is also more celebration news with the 40 years of Star Wars special panel, which you want to see. It is going to be live streamed, so for those of us who aren't going to be there, you can watch it live. Hayden Christensen has been announced to be on that panel. You know, we talked about, I think, 2 weeks ago, Mark Hamill was confirmed for it. Now we have Hayden Christensen. We have Anakin Skywalker. But this panel is going to include people like Kathleen Kennedy, Mark Hamill, Dave Filoni, Ian McDiarmid, Anthony Daniels, Peter Mayhew, and Billy Dee Williams.
I'm so happy.
Like, can you imagine? I just really want to see what Billy Dee, how Billy Dee interacts with Hayden Christensen.
Oh my gosh.
What have we here? Like, oh man.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, you don't see me. I'm shaking right now. I love it. But like, but yes, this is the opening panel. It is, you want to be in that room if you're going there. If you're not, you want to watch it live, just visit StarWars.com. They'll have it streamed live. But if I guarantee you... Go, Donnie.
I was going to say, if you are going to Celebration, word of advice. So all of the main stage panels are done through a wristbanding sort of system. You get the ability to get two wristbands to main stage panels within a day. So if you have a panel that you really, 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 really want to go to, like, and bearing in mind that, yeah, Star Wars Celebration Europe was big, but it's not going to be anywhere near on the scale of what Celebration is going to be like out there, you need to be prepared to queue overnight for some of these, because that's just the unfortunate reality of it. So if there is a panel that you absolutely have to go to and you have to be in the room for, just prepare yourself to be up all night with a load of other fans waiting to try and get in. The other thing, though, is that don't worry if you don't get into the main stage. For all of the main stage panels that were like the really, really big ones, like for example the Rogue One panel, and I think the Star Wars Rebels one as well, they also had it streaming directly through to two other stages within Celebration. So you, even if you can't get into the main stage, you'll probably get onto one of the other ones. Or you can do what other people were doing, which was sitting in corridors streaming it on like their mobile devices and their laptops while at the convention, because I saw that happening a couple
that
of times
too. Now, I will say waiting in line for some of these panels is like the is probably some of the most fun you'll have at these conventions. I was specifically thinking of waiting in line. I remember waiting in line at Celebration 3 in Indianapolis. One, because it was a good experience, but also horrible at the same time, because it was rumored that George Lucas was actually going to show up, and sure enough, he did. So they had him on, I think, the third day of Celebration 3, and you literally had to wait overnight. I think I was, like, number 200 in line, and I waited 24 hours for him. The downside to it was snowing and raining that night, and the line was outside, so we were covered in water cold, and I remember being like 18 and freezing, but it was George Lucas. Like, who wouldn't do that? I mean, I did it, but it was fun. Met lots of friends there. It was cool. Anyway, Hayden Christensen's going to be there. We can ask him. We'll see if someone asks him if he doesn't like sand. But
I bet he's never heard that before. I bet he never hears that whenever he goes anywhere.
It gets everywhere. Anyway, moving on to our spotlight topic and our special guests, Brent and Chelsea. Let's talk about Star Wars costuming and cosplay and the 501st. So, guys, I have a very important question. The very first one is, what
Well, basically, my friends mentioned to me that there was actually conventions that went on where you would dress as your favorite character from your favorite fandom, and I had no idea that this was even a thing, and it just, like, completely blew my mind, because I was like, wow, there's actually a designated place to go be a nerd or a geek in costume? I'm like, what? People actually, like, you know, put tons of work into costumes to wear them at conventions. Like, I just did not know about any of that until, like, 2010. And I went to my first con in the summer of 2010. So, yeah, that's how I found out about it, just through friends, and it was just awesome. My first costume was Harley Quinn, back before anybody even knew who she was. So, yes. I bought a costume online, and I did not know how to sew or anything, so luckily I just somehow managed to modify it to the point where it looked decent, and I wore it around, and I had an absolute blast, and I've met so many awesome people through cosplaying and costuming, and it's just a great experience.
Brent, what about you? I remember when you first started to get your Stormtrooper armor, but what got you into cosplay and costuming?
Well, I've always been a big fan of Halloween. So, you know, growing up as a kid, we'd always, you know, have costumes and that. And I always ended up trying to make my own costumes for Halloween. And that, and having my own kids, I'd make costumes for them. And then recently, as I got older, you know, I got more interested in the 501st and that type of costuming. And my first con experience was like last year. It was a Walker Stalker. And I did a Negan costume for that. And it was the end of the season where Negan was introduced. And that was a very eye-opening experience for me, going as a character to a first time convention, and it was an incredible experience, you know, going in and people stopping you for the first time wanting your picture as this character. It was just, for somebody that has never done something like that before, it was really exciting for me.
That's awesome. You were like famous.
Oh yeah, it was like every 10 feet in there. And you know, it was like, since it was a cliffhanger episode, that before this con, everybody was like, oh, who did you kill, Negan? And, you know, it was just, it was a great experience. It was really fun.
Do you find, obviously, cosplaying and costuming is a lot of fun, and I've done it quite a lot at conventions myself. When doing it at, like, your first costuming experience and your first con experience, did you find it changed your perception of, like, what you were expecting, like, being stopped so often, considering, like, the fact that you were dressed up as a character that had only just been introduced? Like, how did it alter, like, what your perception was of going to a convention, having that experience?
I think I enjoyed it more being dressed up, because I got that extra added experience. Otherwise, I think it would have just kind of been vendors and you know, there wouldn't have been as much experience of meeting as many people and, you know, making those contacts with people that I'm now friends with on Facebook and that kind of situation, not being dressed up.
Makes sense. So I have a question, because I've done costumes, you know, for everything from Harry Potter and Hagrid and, you know, students to I'm working on my Star Wars costume.
Star Wars costumes seem to be like very intricate and highly detailed. If you're a member of the 501st Rebel Legion or Mandalorian Mercs, you know this, that like the details are just super intricate, and the screen accuracy definitely seems to be more present in like Star Wars costumes. Like, it's more of a goal, basically, for a lot of us out there to, like, try to make our costumes as accurate as possible. But, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So what I'm trying to say is that the Star Wars costumes in general just seem to have a lot more added, like, detail, weathering, props, and that's just me comparing it to like any other fandom that I've cosplayed from. And I mean, they all have like their most difficult parts, but I will say that the Star Wars costumes are definitely, like, in my personal experience, a level up from what I've made in the past, just because of all that detail.
Do you find, though, that when you do other costumes, because you don't have to be so beholden to the idea of screen accuracy, do you find yourself taking, like, more creative options with bringing those costumes to life? Like, would you, like, change the way that something looks slightly just to work?
Yeah, like, in video games... you know,
like,
we don't
with, like, your body,
like, it's not
or anything like
actually
that.
Something that's being based filmed on screen. Yeah. So you have to go with your best guess a lot of the time as to, like, what kind of fabric they have in the video game or, like, cartoon series. Whereas, like, in the 501st and stuff, they have the CRLs that usually have the screen accurate material that you would use for a Star Wars costume. So, I mean, like, it's basically like you have this list of screen accurate materials for, like, you know, Star Wars costumes, and then, like, you can get that with, like, any screen, like, you know, anything that's on a movie, basically. But, like, as far as video games go, you just have to take your best guess and hope that it's still going to display itself the way that it does in the video game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. Do you prefer having the freedom to, like, choose and, I guess, test and figure it out for yourself? Or just make a, like, just kind of experiment with, like, different fabric types and stuff like that? Or do you prefer being able to, like, just refer back to something and it tells you exactly what fabric to use or exactly how something should be made, like... Do you find yourself, like, preferring one or the other? Or do you like both in different ways?
I like both, but I definitely try to do things my own way because everyone makes things differently. Everyone has their own way that they would make something, and there is no wrong way to really make something. As long as you're comfortable with that way, then by all means, choose to make it that way. I like to experiment with different fabrics, but if I do have a CRL and I know for a fact that that is the screen accurate material, then I'm going to go with that because I want to be the most accurate I possibly can. And that's just my own little battle that I go through because I drive myself crazy trying to, like, do my best work. And I'm always trying to challenge myself, but I still have fun with it. I don't take it too seriously.
What about you, Brent? I know you have a couple different costumes now.
Well, going off of what Chelsea just said, even with, like, the stormtroopers, even though they're all just basic white stormtroopers, you can have 10 guys build their armor, and each one will do their internal strapping and harnesses a different way. Everybody will do their helmets internally a different way. So it is a personal way of doing it, even though you have to, you know, meet up to the CRL. Everybody puts their own personal touches on their costumes. You have strict guidelines you have to follow, but it's kind of interesting being in I'll just call it a locker room situation when everybody's getting dressed, seeing the different ways that everybody else does their armor or costumes. And it's like, oh, I would have never thought to do it that way. Or, you know, they're coming up to you saying, hey, that, you know, I never would have thought to do it that way. But yeah, there's, even though you have guidelines to go by, it's sometimes not real easy to get to that point. I'm working on a shore trooper right now, and it's a lot of work finding all the bits and pieces. They're not always easy to find to get to that finished product that you're looking for. I've had to contact a lot of different people to get the parts here to get everything together for the kit that I'm working on.
No, I hear you. Like right now, like I'm working on, you know, I'm working on the Biker Scout myself, and I have all the armor pieces. I got that from a guy in Studio Creations, and I got my blaster, which is like the coolest piece ever because, you know, it's a blaster.
Well, yeah.
Play with it. Pew, pew. But I'm waiting on my helmet. I ordered an Altman's because I have a big head. You know, that's the problem with a big head. You have to make sure you get the right stuff for you. And yeah, that's coming from Australia. So I'm like, okay, how long is it going to take? You know, because I can't make it. Like, I remember when I first looked at the 501st when I was in college. Back then, like, you had to do a lot of the vacuum forming yourself. There wasn't a lot of places because, like, the internet and PayPal were not really around. Man, I'm kind of old now. But, like you really couldn't, like...
You're not that old, man.
I know, you're older than me, Brent, so I'm okay. But it's one of those things where, like, back then, you know that was probably 10 years ago. You know, you just, you know, the internet... People just weren't on the internet. Like, you had eBay, but, like, some of the armors there were just horrible, and you really had to vacuum form it yourself or trust somebody who has made one already. And I know you, Brent, you're working on 3D printing stuff. Like, how has 3D printers changed the way, I guess you and Chelsea, like, have you guys used 3D printers to change the way you approach making items, like accessories or different items?
Well, right now I'm using files and printing out a blaster, you know, piece by piece. So, yeah, it's changed the way I look at how things are being made.
Yeah, I have not. I have not used one yet. They fascinate me. But one of my friends is actually printing me out a blaster. God love her. But yeah, I have not experimented with those, but they're absolutely amazing. It's amazing what you can print, like helmets and armor and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've seen guys, you know, I belong to several different armor making groups, and there's guys doing their whole shore trooper armors with 3D printers. It's very interesting.
Yeah. So I have a question. Cause like, I remember, you know, a couple years ago, Leslie and I, my wife, you know, Leslie Brent, made a Mario and Princess Peach cosplay. And for those of you who know Princess Peach, like, you know, from Mario, if you don't know, she has this, you know, these big kind of blue gems on her. Like, Leslie made them out of, like, you know, foam putty and stuff like that and painted them and made it. But now she's like, oh, man, we should just go back and modify those with the 3D printer because then, one, it'll be more accurate and everything. Like, I just am wondering, like, how can we use 3D printers in the future for some of our costumes?
It's really unlimited, I think. You know, as long as you've got the design tools and the time.
How long does it take to print something out, like your blaster you're working on right now?
Well, I'm still really learning how to use the 3D printer. It's a kind of a new toy for me. So I've been working on it. There's quite a few files. I've been working on it for over a week so far. I'm working out some of the bugs with how I use it and everything, so I'm not sure how long it's supposed to take me, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
This part here was 24 hours. It said it was going to take print. This is a large back coupler for the E22, so it's been printing since yesterday morning. I don't know.
Wow, that takes a long time. So what kind of advice would you guys give to anyone who wants to get into cosplay or make their first costume? You know, you mentioned armor parties and armor group sprint. What would you advise someone who wants to get into it?
Go ahead, Brent.
Oh, thank you.
After you.
Well, really, if you're looking to get into Star Wars costuming and the 501st, first thing to do is look up your local garrison, and that would be a real good resource for your armor parties and people that have experience building armor and costumes, and they will get you pointed in the right direction. And that can be found, through the 501st website. There's ways to search for your local garrison.
Very cool. Chelsea, awesome. Anything you would say?
This is just for costumers in general, or anyone who wants to start cosplaying. Just don't be afraid to start somewhere, because we all started somewhere. And if you could see some of my first projects, you would cringe. I cringe just thinking about them. But, I mean, we all start somewhere. Everybody makes things differently. Don't be afraid to just attempt to make a costume. And it's all about learning. It's a big learning experience. And you can meet so many amazing people who will not only give you advice, but they'll also be like your best friends. And it's just a really great experience to cosplay. There's so many doors that it opens. So I encourage anyone out there to just go ahead and attempt to make your costume and just rock it. Wear it proudly.
Yeah, and that's how I met Chelsea. At PopCon last year, she was at the 501st booth in a Kylo costume.
I wasn't official.
And I walked up to her and I was like, "How did you do your saber? That's awesome, And she explained how she put the coloration and everything on the Kylo saber, and it was awesome.
That's awesome. All right, Donya, anything else for our 501st costumer experts that we have on the show?
I always love asking this to people who do, or people who make costumes, but like if you have like a dream costume that you could make with like no limitations at all, like anything is possible, what would you love to make?
Oh man, there's like 10 of these. Which one am I supposed to pick?
Then go down the list, just one.
Oh,
two.
Gosh. Okay. If I absolutely had to like pick a dream costume and there were no limitations at all, oh gosh, I would probably either remake my Starscream to where it was absolutely amazing, or have a super amazing Green Goblin cosplay, the Ramos version. But like, number one would probably be Captain Phasma.
Ooh.
She's so amazing. Like if I had no limitations at all, and I, money wasn't an issue, skill, like I could pop that costume out easily, then yes, I would definitely do that one, I think.
Yeah, we just had a Captain Phasma get approved in our garrison recently. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, that is awesome. That is so cool.
What about you, Brent? What would be the dream costume, no limitations, you would love to do?
It would have to be a Wookiee. These guys do these Wookiees, and it is just, it's incredible.
Yes.
I just recently, a guy finished his, and we did a photo shoot at the Speedway, and I just spent the whole time just kind of like staring at him walking around. It's incredible what these guys do with those.
It's hard to believe that there's even a person under that, because once they put those Wookiees on, they are a Wookiee. Like, it is insane just how detailed those are.
Yeah.
How much time it takes. You know, like, those just, oh my gosh, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I think that would be the dream costume there. Yeah.
Ben, what would be your dream costume?
Wow.
Put you on the spot there.
Done. Yeah. No, it's appreciated. I've enjoyed listening.
let's let Ben answer first, because I have two, so.
Oh gosh. Okay. This sucks. Okay. Wait, can you go with like one and then I'll answer and then you do the other?
Okay, sure.
Because that way I have an extra like 45 seconds to contemplate.
I mean, I'll do both of mine, and then that way you can have more time to think about it. So okay. One would be Bao, but the yellow ball gown. I would love to do that, because I've loved Belle since like I was a kid. Beauty and the Beast was the first film that I ever saw at the cinema, so I have like a really strong connection to her as a character. But I would specifically want to do like my own variation on the original animated dress rather than the new live action one, because as it looked better in the film, but it still looks a little bit like a glorified prom dress, whereas the original animated version looks more like a really cool, elaborate like princess dress, which I would love to do. The other one would be, and this has been one that I've wanted to do for years as well, but I don't know if anyone's played Final Fantasy.
Yes.
So I am a huge fan of Final Fantasy IX. Out of like all of them, that is my favorite, and it has been like since I first got to play it. I like fell in love with it straight away, and I would love to do Princess Garnet's like actual white princess dress with like full embroidery and everything. Like, I would do like all like tiny intricate detail on it, but that would be a project, because holy crap, there's so many like little bits on that dress from like the original like artwork that I would love to do that. Or I would do the Yoshitaka Amano version from the original concept art. But yeah, some kind of Princess Garnet costume and Belle, because I love both of those ladies so much. And yeah, if time and money were like no object at all, that would be what I would do.
Awesome.
That's,
yeah,
cool.
I'm like crazy about Final Fantasy IX, so like I replay it at least 2 to 3 times per year. So I'm like, yeah.
Dedication.
Yeah. I do. I actually set time aside to replay it every year.
Wow.
Like, I specifically make sure that I've got time to replay it at least once, but it's significantly more than once a year. So yeah.
Okay, and Ben, we're still waiting on
cool.
you.
Cool. Sorry. So I still come back to, actually, I was just thinking about this. So the first time I ever cosplayed was actually at the Force Awakens premiere. And I had my Obi-Wan Kenobi robes on in full because we weren't allowed to have masks at the movie theater.
I know. What's up with that? No masks at the movie theater. It's so sad.
Well, I mean, we weren't allowed to have fake weapons either. So, you know, I think, yeah. I mean, I'm not necessarily, like, you know, poo-pooing the idea of making sure you can see people's faces slash lack of weapons, but, you know. I had to pick a costume because I really wanted to, I would love to wear, like, you know, like a Kylo Ren outfit, but that outfit's not cool unless you have the mask on. So, I was like, okay, Obi-Wan Kenobi, like, spirit animal. So I ended up, buying a set of Jedi robes, and wearing it to the premiere. So I would go default with Jedi robes, specifically Obi-Wan Kenobi as my kind of dream, just because I've actually accomplished it, but also they're super comfortable and they look awesome. And you don't need to, like, modify your face in any way to kind of match whatever character you're doing. Because, again, like, there would be no Wookiees at a movie premiere because, you know, you can't see the people, which is really sad. If I were able to wear something over my head, I would definitely go Chewbacca. Just because it also looks very comfy. And also, you would get a lot of free hugs, too. So...
Because you're fuzzy.
Exactly. Who doesn't want to hug a Wookiee?
Exactly.
I just thought of another random one that I want. Not necessarily to do as, like, a full-on costume, but I read a webcomic called Check, Please. And I really want one of the hockey jerseys from Check, Please.
No, hockey.
Yeah, because it has to come back to that. No, but I would have to, like, figure out a way to, like, fully customize it, because the team that... So it's the character Kent Parson. I would want the Las Vegas Aces jersey, but that doesn't... Like, that's a team that doesn't exist. Las Vegas is getting a team this year in an expansion draft, but they're not going to be called the Las Vegas Aces, they're going to be called the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So I want to make a replica version of the jersey to wear, because I love that character a lot, but I don't even know how I'd even go about doing it. I know, like, there's sites that do custom jerseys and, like, custom sports gear, but I don't know that they would, like, let you fully customize it, like, right from scratch. Or if you have to, like, build it on a base design and it just wouldn't be completely perfect. So I have no idea how to go about doing it, but I would love to, like, make a weird custom hockey jersey that probably no one else is going to know where the heck it's from.
Oh, Danya, you and your
hockey. I know.
Caitlin's not on, so it's okay. Anyway, any other questions for anybody, guys, about costuming or cosplay? Crickets?
No. That's a no.
That's a no. That's a no. All right. Well, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. As always, I'm Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
I'm Ben, and I'm going next.
I'm Chelsea. Hi.
I'm Brent.
Oh, boy. Thank you all for listening to another episode, and may the Force be with you.
And also with you.
Oh, boy. Bye-bye. Bye.